pray, Father. We just pray that your word would just speak to us. And Lord, that as your word speaks, Father, and transforms our lives, that, Father, we would apply your word to our lives and take hold of your word. And Lord, we desire that you would be Lord of all in our lives as we surrender to you and as we desire to serve you wholeheartedly. And Father, we just thank you for your word. Just thank you for the inspiration, Lord, of your word that has been given to us. Lord, let us be doers of your word, not just hearers of your word. And Lord, as we read and meditate on your word, Lord, we would desire more of you every single day. In Jesus' name. So we're going to read Romans 8, and there it is. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Don't have everybody here today, so everybody that I was running the sound, so you might have noticed I wasn't really good at it. At least it was there. And so we're going to read Romans 8. Romans 8:30. I have 31 up there, but we'll know we have our Bibles. We've been going through the book of Romans, right? And we've been reading, and hopefully we're meditating on the Word of God. And you probably have noticed that Paul likes to ask questions. How many of us like to be asked questions? Sometimes. Sometimes we like being asked questions. Sometimes we feel like somebody's trying to challenge us. And so, but Paul wants to drive home some biblical truths to our lives. He wants us to take hold of biblical truths. He wants us to understand. He wants us to know what his word is saying to us. He wants us to have clarity. And sometimes we don't have clarity in the truths. We may have assumptions of what the Word of God says, right? But do we actually understand what the Scripture is saying in the context of what it's saying? So as we read in Romans 8, verse 30, it says, "Moreover, he who predestined, these he also called." Who did he call? Who did he predestine? Those who he called. Are you guys the ones that he called? Do you believe that God called you? Because we know that no sinner will come to know a holy God. God's the only one that seeks after those who are lost. And all of us were lost. All of us sinned. We all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. We all need a Savior. Not one of us were born righteous. Only Jesus Christ was a righteous, a holy. And yet he's God. So we all need a Savior. So he called us. He predestined us. He called, he also called whom he called, those who also justified. So he justifies us, just as if we never sinned. Right? And whom he justified, those he also glorified. So it is God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, is working in your lives. Even though at times we may not feel like it or understand that he's working in our lives, how many of us go by feelings? We go by our feeling. Well, today the service, I felt it was okay. Today I think worship was okay. You know what? It could have been a little bit better. It could have been more singing, more praising, right? We go by feelings. We go, just somebody killed the quenched the spirit. We always say those things. But how is our heart today? Do I really want to enter in to worship honor and praise the risen Lord. Is my life right now, am I okay with the Lord? Is there any sin in my life? Is there anything that is hindering me to go deeper with the Lord? Right? Am I not dealing with stuff that the Lord is pointing out in my life? So sometimes when we are not right with God, right, we'll point out the fault. We'll blame other people, saying, well, they are quenching the Holy Spirit. But am I all right with, am I okay with the Lord? Am I asking the Holy Spirit to search my heart to reveal anything in my life that needs to be dealt with? Am I dealing with what he's asking me to deal with? It's a heart issue. You know, God is here with us right now. I don't feel him here. But his word says he's here. Do I believe his word more so than what I feel? A feeling is just a passive. A feeling is both, oh, did I get goosebumps today? Do we go by feelings? The word of God says don't go by your feelings. Go by what the word of God says. Too often we seek feelings. Right? Don't seek feelings. Don't go after things and chase after feelings. Those things will change. But seek after the word of God, which does not change. Right? Hopefully that's not puzzling people. Because we're not supposed to seek after feelings. We're supposed to be seeking after what the word of God says. And to apply the word of God. And so this is the whole premise of what Paul is saying. Are we seeking the Lord with our hearts, with our mind, body, and soul? Am I seeking him? So don't have assumptions. He wants us to know the truth in its clarity. Because the truth of God that is not watered down will set you free. So as we read Romans 8, now in 31, he says, I'm reading on the New King James. This is the New King James. So what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who died not spared his own son, but delivered him for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Notice all these questions. There's like five questions from verse 31 to 38. Five? Yeah. He's asking questions, and he answers his questions. Typical Jewish person. He asks questions. He's asking questions to make you think. We don't just leave our brain on the shelf, but we apply the word of God and think about what the word of God is saying. So who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who it is God who justifies? Who is it who condemns? Who condemns us? Is it God that condemns? No? Awfully quiet today. Satan condemns. God convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts you. He doesn't condemn you. God convicts you of sin. So he goes, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? as it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's trying to bring everything together, compile it together, so we will have assured hope. Shall anything separate you from the love of God? Should famines, things in daily lives, should that separate you from the love of God? Should heartache, people passing away, should anything separate you from the love of God? No. We have a full assurance in Christ. He's reminding us, it's a foundational truth, God is always with us, even though we may not think or feel that he's with us. We're reminded that his word is true. Right? You look at the faith movement. The gospel, the faith movement is all about feelings. I felt this way today. I really felt it. But what did the word of God say? Are we applying what the word of God says, or are we going by feelings? We need to have be established in biblical truth so we don't get carried away from non-biblical truths. Right? It's hard. Are we being rooted and grounded in the truth of God? Are we allowing the word to penetrate our hearts, to change us, to conform us more to the image of Christ? You know, for the believer in Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been adopted into the family of God because we have repented. We recognize that we need a Savior, a Redeemer. That when we place our faith and trust and hope in Christ, we are now part of the body, the part of the family of God. Before we become believers, we were not. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not part of the family of God. Right? You need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to become a child of God. That's a heart thing. Doesn't matter how many times you go to church. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're not a child of God. There has to be a transformation of your heart and of your life. You know, in Romans 8:39, it says, no separation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So in between, so the love of in Romans 8, no combination, no separation. In between these verses are all reminded, all things work together for those who love God and who are called to his purpose. So what is God's purpose for us? Yeah. To know him. To be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. I think that's Romans 8:28. He wants us to know him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to desire him and to be conformed to the image of Christ. So there has to be this ongoing sanctification, this ongoing transformation of our lives. Am I different than how I was when I first came to Christ? Is there any change? Is his fruit being established in my life? Do people see his fruit in my life? Sometimes we don't. We have some rotten fruit still. But am I surrendering that to him? Because he is the gardener. As Preen said, he is the gardener. He's the vine dresser that prunes us. In John 15, it talks about God the Father is the pruner. He is the gardener that prunes the dead branches off of us so that we will produce more of his fruit. Are we allowing him to change us, to cut off that fruit that is not of his? So an overview of Romans 8 says, we have a new life. So that's Romans 8, 2 to 13. We have a new relationship. We become a child of God when we receive Christ as Savior. That's Romans 8, 14 to 17. We have a new hope, assured hope in Christ. Romans 8, 18 to 25. And we have been given and sealed with his Holy Spirit, who empowers us and enables us to live and assures us. And as we abide in Christ, Romans 8, 26 to 27. We have talked about this. It's been about a month since, been about 3 weeks, I think, last time I talked about Romans. But it's just a reminder. He's also, we have been predestined, glorified. We're not glorified yet, but he's justified us. To be conformed to the image of Christ. It is my desire to become more like Jesus every day. So Romans 8, 30 to 39 is a section that speaks about and reminds us that our blessed assurance, not height, nor depth, or anything in this life can separate us from the love of God. That's what is being revealed to us, that nothing separates us from the love of God. No matter what you're facing today, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Paul wants us to be assured of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Verse 31, it says, the question is, if God is for us, who could be against us? And why is that an important question? You know, there's a battle. Do you believe there's a battle going on? You know, there's a spiritual battle that we don't see. Sometimes we get oppressed, pushed down. There's a battle that's going on that's trying to distract you from what God wants for your life. You know, the devil wants you to believe lies, right? There's a battle in your mind. And the devil wants you not to believe the truth of the Bible. But what does God's word say? You know, he's given us the armor of God. Ephesians 6 talks about the helmet of salvation. And it also talks about that we need to take captive every thought that would set up itself against the knowledge of God. Do we take captive of thoughts that are contrary to the word of God? He's given us all things necessary for life and godliness. So if he's already given us all things, am I taking hold of what he's given me? Am I applying what he's given me? His word says that. He said he has given us all things. If I have given you all my wealth and it's just sitting there, will you take hold of it and use it, right, as if it was your own, or would you allow it to sit there? We need to take hold of it to renew our minds daily, because there's a spiritual battle, to put on the full armor of God, to renew our minds in the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, to allow it to saturate us. We need to remind ourselves that God is not against his children. And if you're a born-again believer and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. So God is not against us. He is actually for us. He's given you all things necessary for life and godliness. So who could be against you? Who can take away your salvation? Nobody actually can. Right? How many people doubt if they're even saved? I hear sometimes believers saying, I don't know if I'm even saved. God gives us assurance when we are born again believers. He seals us with His Holy Spirit. There's actually a transformation of your heart and your life. That's the fruit of it. There's a change and a desire to know Him. You know, Satan, he doesn't want you to follow the Lord Jesus. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He is the tormentor. There's a lot of people who are offended by true Christianity. We see that every single day. That's why a lot of churches are very lukewarm. They teach a progressive Christianity that is contrary to the Word of God. And so it's a lukewarmness, it's watered down to make everybody feel warm and fuzzy. And actually, instead of teaching the Word of God in its entirety. You know, perhaps sometimes your spouse is offended by you, maybe you're a believer. Perhaps your children desire that you were not saved and would do anything to get you to renounce Christ. And then we think about the secular educators, right? We send our kids to public schools, then we sometimes send them to college, university. And do you think they have our kids' best interests in hand? They don't. If they find out that they're a believer or come from a Christian home or God-fearing home, what were they trying to do? They try and bring doubt in their minds. They try to undermine everything that you've been sharing and teaching them. So they have their agenda. It's not to promote Christianity or God-fearing people to grow in their faith. It's the contrary. There's a battle for them. I think they would like to destroy their faith. To bring doubt in. And bring confusion. Think how much confusion there is from even grade 3, kindergarten. The confusion of sex. Right? They bring confusion in and saying that, well, it's whatever you feel that you are. You can be whatever you want under the sun. Wouldn't that be confusing to a kid? Think how confused people are nowadays who are in their 18s, 20s, identifying whatever they feel like it. There's a lot of confusion. You think about society trying to indoctrinate believers to say that what you believe is not the truth. So there is a battle there, right? There is a battle and want you to doubt what the Word of God says, to make you doubt what you're believing is actually true. And sometimes we see believers compromising the Word of God, right? They become like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. We see that. What does Romans 12:2 say? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the Word of God says, do not conform to this world, to stand out for Him, to really show and reveal the life of Christ to others. You know, sometimes you're bombarded with on different shows that talk about creation. Do you know creation is very important? in a biblical understanding, because it undermines actually the cross. It actually undermines Jesus. So if it undermines all that, then everything else doesn't matter. If there was death prior to Adam and Eve's sin, then Jesus had no reason to go to the cross. If dinosaurs died before Adam and Eve sinned, then God is not a holy and righteous God. When you think about that, that's why they would go for billions and millions of years. Man was walking with dinosaurs. There was no separation. God created. There was no fall prior to Eve's or Adam's sin. Right? Eve was deceived. Adam sinned. So that's when the death came in. And in that, people are trying to make you think, well, millions of years. Billions of years. They're trying to undermine the truth of the gospel. We have to be aware of false teachers. Jesus talked about be aware of false teachers. In Matthew 7, 15 to 20, he talked about beware of false teachers, false prophets. Right? So we have to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravishing wolves. So we have to be careful of who we watch and who we listen to. Right? So if Paul says, if God is for us and who is against us, what is Paul saying? It's a conditional clause. Since God is for us, who can successfully can be against us? Who can successfully be against us? Who's more powerful than God? Are you sure? No doubts? So then why do we fear the devil? Why do we doubt what's going on? If Noah is more powerful than God Almighty, then why are we so afraid of what the devil's doing? Why are we so afraid what's happening in our lives? We read, nor height, nor depth, nor anything will separate us from the love of God. No matter the turmoil that we go through, no matter what we're facing, God is always with us. You think about Job. God allowed Satan to attack him. Because Job says, oh, God, he only loves you because he had all this great wealth. He has all this stuff. God knew his heart. He allowed Satan to do whatever he wanted but to kill him. In the end of all, he lost it all, and yet he still praised God. He never cursed God. He blessed God. God knew his heart. When we go through turmoil, do we curse God? Or we say, God, what are you trying to teach me through this difficult time? Are you, help me, Lord, to understand what you're trying to do in my life. You know, God has called you. God justifies you. He promises to glorify you. And that's his purpose. He wants you to bring you from glory to glory to glory. There's an ongoing process in your life. Jesus intercedes for us. Do you know that? Do you know the Holy Spirit intercedes for us? We read that in Romans 8. There's groanings that he does, and he's speaking on our behalf, praying for us. We don't even understand. You know, God's made a promise. Does God break promises? Are you sure? Awfully quiet. So we're going to read Psalm 27. Yeah, Psalm 27, verses 1 to 6. So Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fall. And they fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me on high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Even during the times of difficulty, do we sing praises unto the Lord? Right? God is our shield. He says, fear not. The only times he says, fear not. That's quite a bit. What's Joshua 1:5 say? Let's read Joshua 1:5. I'll get some, right? Yeah, Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 5. Who wants to read it? Yeah. What's Hebrews 13:5 say? Hebrews 13:5. Well, in the New King James says, let your conduct be without covetousness. We're not supposed to covet things. We're not supposed to covet what others have, right? But be content, but it says be content with such things as you have. Are we content what God has given us right now? And he says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? I will never leave you nor forsake you. What's Jude 24? I want to say that one. Jeff's just trying to see if we're awake. Okay? Jude 24 says, now to whom is able to keep you from stumbling? And who is that? Jesus, yes. Well, right? Who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Sometimes we don't feel like we're faultless because we're our worst case. We like to condemn ourselves. So when we repent and ask God for forgiveness for our shortcomings, We repent of our sin. Right? Jesus is presenting you faultless because he has justified you just as if you never sinned. He presents you faultless before the presence of God Almighty because God Almighty sees Jesus in front of you. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He does that exceedingly with joy. This is why it's important not to go by feelings. Right? It's important not to go by feelings. But it's important, what does the Word of God say? Can God change his mind about us? No. He loves you. God cannot change his mind about you. Sometimes we might think, God, why do you love me so much? It's his mercy and his grace. Can we follow a pattern of sin to a degree that God takes back what he's given us? No. We lose rewards. We don't lose salvation. If you truly have received Christ, and I know sometimes some people have a sin in their lives that is, you can't, still has a hold on them for many years. Does that mean you're going to lose your salvation? No. We confess and repent. We don't use God's grace in vain. But it's like, Lord, I'm surrendering this sin to you. I don't want to live this way any longer. I want to die to it. He convicts us of sin. He desires us to put off the old nature. He desires us to be continually sanctified. He wants us to die to self. That God is the giver and sustainer of our salvation. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Salvation is of the Lord, and God sustains us by his grace. When we receive Christ, there's a transformation of our heart. Transformation, how we live. We get new desires, I hope. A new hope. A new perspective. A love for him. In Acts 1:8, it speaks of how the people in Jerusalem, 1:8, the disciples were 1:8, it says, but you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Do you know you're a witness of God as a child of God? You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. There's a work in your life. God is transforming you so that you be his witness. So people can say, how in the world do you go through life with such great joy without fearing of what tomorrow brings? It's like, I surrender to the Lord. He's teaching me to trust him. He's teaching me to depend on him. Not to be caught up what the world thinks, but what he thinks. And to have these desires that he only gives me to have. It's a relationship with him. I fall at times, but he picks me up again. He gives me strength to face whatever I'm fearing. He gives me confidence, knowing that I'm not walking this life on my own, but he gives me other believers who pray for me and encourage me, and his word encourages me. So we'll finish with Romans 8:32. It says, he who did not spare his son, his own son, but delivered him up for all of us. This is the love of God. He did this for you and for me. Do we want to receive him? How shall he not with him will also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. We talked about who is condemns. Satan condemns. Satan uses people around us trying to condemn us. It is Christ who died. Furthermore, it is also risen. He's also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or peril? Well, I like verse 38. For I'm persuaded. Are we persuaded that God loves you? Even where you're at right now. Are we persuaded that God wants the best for you? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to rely on him. He wants you to walk with him. Not to go by what feelings you may have, but what his word says. To apply his word. How do I respond to spiritual truth? How do you respond to spiritual truth? James 1, verse 22. Can you go put that up there? But be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if we're not doers of the word, and only hearers of the word, it says we're deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away. Immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, is the one to be blessed in what he does. What does the word of God say? Are we being doers of the word? Obviously, the Lord wants us to react positively to his word. We ought to desire to at least to apply and abide in his word. By applying the truth, allowing his Holy Spirit to search us, and to be led of his Holy Spirit, not to quench him, but to ought to be growing in the life that he desires. So ask yourself this question. When I hear biblical truth, am I enthusiastic about it? Or do I become indifferent to it? So not having a particular interest in the Word of God? Or am I open to the truth if it agrees with me? Sometimes we're that way. Right? But Lord, help me to become enthusiastic about your word. Because his word searches our hearts. It reveals things in our life that needs to be dealt with. He wants us to grow. And that's why he does it. Because we want our children to grow. We want our children to flourish. We want our children to prosper. We want our children not to have any hindrances or bondages that hold them back from receiving what God has promised. We want the best for our children, do we not? Doesn't God want the best for his children? I think so. my prayer is that we become more enthusiastic about the Word. To really take hold of what the Word of God says. To be saying, Lord, I know your Word is tough at times to apply it, but Lord, I want to be a doer of your Word. Father, we just thank you that you're not done with us yet. You are teaching us, growing us to become more of being a doer of your Word, not just a hearer of your Word. So Lord, help us to apply what you're speaking to us about. Pray, Lord, that if whatever there is, any hindrances in our life that we don't want to deal with, Lord, any sin in our life that we don't want to deal with, Lord, I pray that, Lord, I just pray that we would surrender that sin and confess that sin unto you. Lord, we desire to have a right relationship with you, a relationship that is growing and flourishing, to be used by you for your glory and for your purpose. And I pray, Father, that we would take captive of any thought that would set itself up against the knowledge of you. I pray, Father, that we would not listen to what society says, what is right, but Lord, that we would listen to what your word says and what you say is right and what is wrong. So Lord, help us to be lovers of your word and a lover of you. Lord, I pray the blood of Christ over our minds. Lord, I thank you for your armor. Lord, let us put on the full armor of God every day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's rise and let's end this service with a song of thanksgiving.
A river of gladness flows from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and God saved. And since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past broken at last, I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I've tasted and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross. God saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me his pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God calls me up higher. His will is stronger, that's why I got saved. The love of God gave me his pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God calls me up higher. feel stronger, that's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus, how could I want more? I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus, how could I want more? I've got Jesus, how could I want more?
Amen, that's right. Amen, guys.